Late spring and early summer can mean extreme weather in the Midwest. We expect some big storms and tornadoes every year, but the really big ones happen a lot less often. In fact, it's been over two decades since Wisconsin has seen a tornado with winds over 200 miles an hour. Does that mean we're due for a big one? Tim Halbach is the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service office in Milwaukee Sullivan. He's in our studio right now in Madison. Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So we are technically in tornado season right now, right?
Yeah, typically once you start getting into late April, May, you're starting to get at the beginning periods of when we start seeing more tornadoes or severe weather in Wisconsin. June is our peak month for when we've seen the most tornadoes, but really any time of year we can get it if the right conditions come together.
And about how many tornadoes do we get in the course of a average year, if there's such a thing as an average year?
Nothing's really ever average, right? It seems. But actually last year wasn't 23 is what the standard number is that we've used as our average for what we get in Wisconsin. Southern Wisconsin, our area that we forecast for, about 8 to 10 is what is kind of normal for us.
And I imagine you can't say coming into a year, oh, this is going to be a big tornado season, oh, there aren't going to be many. It's just not that kind of predictability.
Yeah, even like a day before, sometimes things can get thrown off by if there's extra cloud cover, things like that. Trying to predict how many severe weather events we're going to have is really hard to do. Really, all it takes is one really bad one for it to set a season as being a bad season for us.
And let's talk about how we measure tornadoes and what constitutes a bad one. We see the used to be F, now it's the EF, 0 through 5. Is that right?
Yeah, I still call it the F, like a kind of a F. but zeros, ones, and twos are the most common types of tornadoes. Thankfully, they don't do a whole lot of injuries or fatalities with those. It's fours and fives that we consider to be violent tornadoes. Threes and twos are what we call strong tornadoes. So it's not as frequent that we see those kinds of tornadoes, but when we have a 3, 4, or 5, that accounts for about 3 out of 4 fatalities with any tornadoes that do occur.
How long has it been since we've had some of the most serious tornadoes in Wisconsin?
Well, the last violent tornado that's occurred was the Oakfield tornado back in 96. And before then, we had a number of EF4s and 5s back in the 80s. It was a pretty active period in the 80s for whatever reason. But you got to go back about 22 years before we've had a 4 or 5 in Wisconsin.
Now, that doesn't mean we're due, if I understand the probability here, right? It's not like with each passing year, it gets more likely. The tornado doesn't care what happened last year or the year before.
No, neither does the weather. It's just going to be, no one's ever due to get some kind of weather. It's just that it's been a while, so we get worried about complacency. We have a few forecasters in our office that came from the Springfield, Missouri office and worked the Joplin tornado. And they saw right after that tornado that there was this huge spike in people wanting to learn more about tornadoes and being prepared and all that. But as time goes on, that resiliency and readiness kind of goes down and fades away from memory. So our concern is that the people that, haven't seen a tornado like that in a long time aren't going to be prepared or have the options ready for them for when that day does come that we get that next violent tornado.
Talking about tornadoes with Tim Halbach from the National Weather Service. He's a warning coordination meteorologist there. You mentioned people got into the business in part because they'd seen tornadoes in Joplin. I understand a Wisconsin tornado is part of what led you into your line of work.
Yeah, that's correct. I always knew something was wrong with me from when I was a little kid, going outside to look at storms and watching the Weather Channel all day. But I grew up in Fond du Lac, and when I was 16, watched the Oakfield tornado from my parents' doorstep, basically.
You literally saw the tornado?
Yeah.
At a distance, I hope?
Yes. It didn't hit our house or anything like that, but we're about 3 or 4 miles to the north, and I just remember watching it as it was off in the horizon. It just looked like a big cloud that was on the ground. It didn't really match with what I had kind of expected to see with a violent tornado. And then as it came through Oakfield and went just to our south, it started to rope out and go through its dissipating stage. And that's an image in my mind that's kind of been burned into it. And I knew something was kind of wrong with me because my friends had been calling me saying, we're waiting for you to play euchre with us. We need a fourth. And I'm sitting there like, hey, there's a tornado going on. We need to, check this out. So that kind of got me started in meteorology. When I went to UW-Milwaukee, that's where I kind of put that to faith.
And let's talk about now predicting that tornado and how ready we are. And I imagine there's got to be a conflict when you're issuing warnings You don't want to issue a false warning and make people complacent the next time comes around, but you really don't want to not issue a warning when there's a real deal coming.
Yeah, and that's really, it's, I don't call it a game, but it's difficult for us to balance that because we want to make sure that we hit everything and try to give some kind of heads up that there's a tornado that's coming. But at the same time, we don't want to just toss out a tornado warning for the fun of it. And like you said, kind of develop that false sense of awareness. So that's something that we really weigh in. Even last year with the Madison tornado that happened in October, we got a call from Dane County's Sheriff Department saying we got reports of damage. Somebody saw the tornado, but they thought it lifted. So we held off on issuing a tornado warning because we didn't want to just toss out a warning, even though that it had happened. Then got a couple more reports, and that prompted us to push it through. So we weigh a lot of that into the warning process and making sure that, you know, people aren't overwarned, but they're also properly warned in time so that they can seek shelter.
And I want to alter a phrase I used. False warning isn't what you'd issue. You are looking at conditions and reports and trying to let people know if there's that risk.
Right. Any warning that we issue is based on something that we're either seeing on radar. There's some rotation there. Our analysis of the environment that we're seeing that there's a favored area where there could be a rotation that develops, or somebody that is on the ground telling us what they're actually seeing. So we put that all together. We get try to piece that together and then get a warning out. Our goal is to get as much lead time as possible to people, but sometimes it's not as quick as we'd hope.
And we've been talking about warnings so far. Can you talk about the difference between a warning and a watch?
Right. So that's really when the whole process works the best, is when we can forecast that something's going to happen. A watch, that gets issued when the conditions are coming together. So you might not even have storms out there yet, but we're starting to see the clouds kind of perk up. And typically about 2 to 6 hours before those storms become severe or possibly start dropping down tornadoes, that's when the watch comes out. A warning means there's a storm there and it's producing the severe weather or is about to. So we get a lot of people that confuse those two terms because they do both start with WA.
And warning is when we should be doing something.
Correct. That's when you should be seeking shelter and, you know, have that all picked out ahead of time rather than in the moment. But a warning, that's when you need to be taking action.
If I can take this behind the scenes, when we're in this state where it looks like, oh, we're in for a night of, often a night, but I guess it could be a day too, of weather. I think about people in your line of work, either the TV meteorologists or the weather service people. You're pulling all-nighters sometimes on these, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't leave until the storms have exited, and even sometimes if we've had flooding, we stay late to make sure that the river forecasts are going out properly and that we're getting all the information we need to get. If there has been a tornado, part of my job is typically to go out the first thing the next morning to go and survey the path to kind of to determine how bad the tornado was, what the rating would be for it. But, yeah, we're up there all night until basically the storms are gone. And we always have at least two people that are working anyways.
And I know people, including my parents over the years, who have done tornado spotter training. How much do you rely on the people who do that training?
Heavily. Those are our ground truth. Those are the people that are telling us what's happening. Our radar is a great tool to be able to see where storms are and being able to pick up on that first basically spin that's occurring, but the spotters tell us what's happening on the ground. And when we put that information into our warnings, people take action. They seek shelter. When they hear somebody's actually seen a tornado, they jump on that.
We'll leave it there for now, Tim. Thanks a lot for coming up to the studio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Tim Halbach, warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service office in Milwaukee-Sullivan. We talked with him about Wisconsin's recent tornado history.